And perhaps we can look to the Lord. And our Father and God, here we are, opening thy word. Spirit of God, help us now that we might capitalize, that we might take advantage of these moments. And our God, and you'd be pleased, and we'd be profited. And our Father will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise of late, in the light of the fact that we met last week, in the light of the Declaration of Independence. So, I'm going to try to take and see if I understood that right, what we did, and then go right to 1 John, that you come right together like that. So, in the light of that, we share together that all the nations, after Genesis 6, in Genesis chapter 11, all the people redid what they shouldn't have done. They repeated chapter 6 and chapter 11, and they built a tower and a city this time. They have religion and politics, but no God. So when we come to Genesis 10, we have all the nations that come into existence. All of those nations, there's no God. No God. They're politics, and religion, that's what they have, but no God. And the devil, the god of this world, he's the boss, he's in charge. So having said that and keeping that in mind, so therefore they are under the satanic system, and he, the world system, made of all these nations. And God, all the nations, are doing what they do. Genesis 9, etc. And they're doing what they do with government, etc. But no God. So God raises up Abraham. And Abraham, as you know, God raises him up to raise up the nation of Israel. And Abraham and Israel come into being in Deuteronomy chapter 4 to help the whole world understand that they, God, is to be the governor, he's to be the rightful ruler, and he's to be worshipped. So Israel is born, as it were, at Mount Sinai, as it were, and thus they become Israel. Israel was to be God's nation for all the nations to look at, to be the example, to show what nations need to be. To be what? Including God and understanding God's rightful rule. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, now here comes Israel, the testimony in the middle of the world over there in Jerusalem to the world. Now, so here's all the nations. They're all there, but no God. Israel is there, and God is to be the centerpiece. So, 1 Samuel chapter 8, if you would. And in 1 Samuel chapter 8, you remember now Israel has had the judges, Samuel being the last judge, and in the process, the judges are going to be put aside because Israel has rejected the prophets and the judges. And Israel doesn't want to go anymore with God. So therefore, as we read, chapter 8, going up I can, verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Now, having said that, all the nations. That's what we want to be like. Now I'm going to be back. I'm going to be in my mind, in your mind, if you like, back there with on the July 4th, 1976. And what do we know? Well, we're reading what they could read, what they knew. So the next thing I pick up, 1 Samuel chapter 8, I'm going to go to verse 6. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto him, Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. Reason, for they have not rejected thee." They aren't rejecting you, Samuel, but they have rejected me, said God, that I should not reign over them. Now, that if I read that, Israel had the opportunity, a special nation in a special way. They threw away the opportunity, and it'd have to be to the king, tribulation and the kingdom before it can take place. So they can't, they're out of business in that sense, as a nation. They're there now as a nation, and their example is in unbelief to show. And the world knows what happened to Israel. They left God out of the picture. And when they took God away, they lost their specialness. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and looking to all of that, so therefore, here comes the king, and here comes, as we did, and the governments of the world in the days of the pilgrims and the founding of our country. And what was they going on? They were doing the same thing they did in Genesis 10. They had politics and religion, and they had a Christianity that was getting corrupted in the process. So, in the process of it all, the pilgrims, they have enjoyed freedom of being able to worship, able to learn, able to own a home, able to have all kinds of things, business. They had all of this wonderful benefit. And the revival, 1700s in there, 1730, 40, 50, 60, 70, 70. All of that revival, Whitfield and all of it, all of that was in their mind. It's everywhere. All 13 colonies are being hit with this. So what are they thinking? They're thinking, why should we have to be under the king again? And the king is wrongly treating us, and we've enjoyed a taste of looking to God, a taste of reading the word, a taste of trusting God, talking about God, etc. We've tasted it, and the taste is good, and we don't want to get rid of it. So therefore, what are you going to do? You're going to go and make and rebel. And as we share together in the rebellion against the King George, etc., they're going to go, and their lives are at stake, especially the signers, their lives are at stake. Now, what do they want? They do not want to do the system. They don't want the world system. They don't want politics and idolatry to be the main point. We want to make God the main point. And like Benjamin Franklin said in all of those things, we need to understand God, quote, God ministers in the affairs of men. And then we better vote rightly for the Declaration. And we did that. Why? Because we wanted God. God's the centerpiece. We want the freedom to honor God and worship God. And not worship God, but we want the freedom to be able to read and build and practice truth. That's what we want. Therefore, the Declaration of Independence came into being. The Declaration of Independence is the result of that. And so the Declaration of Independence is all about hope we hold these truths to be self-evident, etc., life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we understand that. That's what we want. That's what we're signing. We want freedom. Freedom to worship, freedom to grow, freedom to know. That's what we want. Now, having said that, and they did that, and thus they went to war, etc., etc. Now, and having done that, they succeeded in God's kindness, and God gave them victory. Gave them victory. A wonderful victory. And it cost them, it's no question. But they gave them, God gave them victory in what they did. God supported them in their desire to put him first. It was the first time in history that a nation, a people, chose God. And the choice of God produced the declaration, produced the nation of these United States. They did that. But God was the, what they did. That's what they did. And the declaration is the result of that. Now, so we have God's wonderful word, truths. In the declaration, the declaration is resting on God's word. And and God's word is resting in the declaration. So, now that's good. Now that's a relationship to God. But we live in a world, and not everyone wants to go where we're going. And so therefore, being governed by God's word, practicing as citizens of heaven, we'd practice God's word and the truth with among each other, the church and the body of the believers. We'd practice just biblical life, God's life between them. But there's a whole lot of people that just aren't doing that. Therefore, we need the Constitution. And the Constitution comes along down the road, not very far, and the Constitution comes along. And the Constitution is rather unique because it's based on and out from the Declaration. And the Constitution, having based on and out from the Declaration, keeping that in mind, if you would, then it's going to go and deal with what? It's going to have the government, because we got to have government, law, and order. We have ex-auto, law and order. And we have to have that. So we have to have it in the world. If we were all going to be believers, that would be wonderful. But everyone isn't of that way and isn't of that mind. Therefore, they have the Constitution. And the Constitution is written in such a way that, therefore, it handles the government, law and order, like our country is, law and order. And so, therefore, Declaration, God, what are we can, our country, our Declaration, we can practice truth. We can practice God's word right now. At the same time, without contradicting and conflict, we're able to enjoy law and order, running our country with good common sense if we go by the Constitution. So we're able to have both law and God, reason, the law, and revelation. We're able to have it. They come together. They don't contradict each other. That's why the Constitution is unique. It's unique. We aren't talking about a king. We aren't talking about dictators. We aren't talking some rule by some person. We're talking about the rightful understanding of law and order. And here's the Constitution to give us the right to be able to have law and order. We don't have to all get saved, and we don't get saved. But we do have the right for you to believe Declaration. But if you don't want to believe, at least we're going to have order like no other. We're going to have it. That's our Declaration, and that's our wonderful Constitution. And that's what we have. It's a unique thing. Now, what's the problem? The problem was we didn't want to get tied up in the world system, politics and religion, which we did. But we didn't want to. Not that way. Not that way. So therefore, over, if you would, please, in your Bible, over to John, the Gospel of John, and the Gospel of John, picking up, if I may, in verse 17. Now remember, pilgrims and all of that, they were understood. They were fighting the world system, trying to keep it out away from us, so we don't get tied up in the way the world does things. We wanted to try to do it in God's what kind of way. That's what we wanted. Now the problem, what are we doing? We did the Declaration because we don't want to follow the world system. And Israel had the right to believe God, but they gave it up. God, we want that right. We want to be able to worship you. That's what you want of us, to give you your rightful rule in this rightful place to honor yourself. Therefore, John chapter 17, the world system. What do we know about the world system that they were up against? Chapter 17, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Why? That they may be one as we are one. Sliding over if I can. Verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil, the evil one, the devil himself. They are not, verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So here we are. What are we doing, the Declaration? We're going against the world system. What are we still doing today? That's the problem. The world system doesn't want a declaration and a constitution like that. They don't want that. It takes away from them. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want to have that. They love the darkness. They don't want to see what really the conditions are. And you know from Revelation 3 in that 17, that with Laodicea, thou art wretched and poor and blind and naked. You have no idea what your condition is. That's the church in these days. You have no idea how miserable you are. And your lot is terrible. It's going to cost you. But we don't want to see it. We love darkness. So I don't have to hear that. I don't want to see that. I don't want to talk about that. So, the world system, I'm in it. God saved us out of it. Hang on. Over to one more place, over to John chapter 15 to remind yourself, remind us. John chapter 15, picking up by me. Just to tie it together. Chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. They hate you because of me, said the Lord. Verse 19, if you were of the world system, the world would love his own. You love darkness, we love darkness. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Hateth you. Back over to 1 John. 1 John. the book of 1 John. Or if I can. And in the process, chapter 2, you'll remember. 1 John, chapter 2, picking up. All I'm trying to do is drive home the point. The world. The world's an enemy. And the pilgrims and the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution are to try to escape the world by looking to God and trusting God. And because we have the Declaration, then what? The average us, we can go to any one of us, and any one of us can what? By these truths, right, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, any one of us, every one of us, and any one of us can know God, as we shared in Sunday school, in all his fullness, every one of us. You can't do that everywhere. You can't read and talk like that. But we can still, because of that declaration. The world system hates us. The world system hasn't changed. They don't want you and I to be believing and trusting God. And therefore, God, what do you say again to us? 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. It belongs to the world system. That's the same as in Genesis chapter 3, when Eve said those very same thing. That's what she said. It's a desire. It makes you wise. It may taste good. It's a wonderful thing. We ought to do it. The world. Love not the world. And like it says in James 4, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. That's pretty clear. Your friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God. That's clear. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so therefore, here we are, over in 1 John, and in 1 John, and in chapter 5, you'll remember where we have been, and God is, the believing heart is to be so locked in, to be so related to God, that the world system can't get a hold of it. So the heart, trusting God as we read chapter 4, chapter 5, and here in chapter 5, again, just picking it up if I may, what are we talking about? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. God in Christ. When you receive Christ, you receive God into your heart. God into your heart. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. When you received him as your Savior, you received God. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. That's what we're doing. We know it. We know. We know that. We love what God loves. We're connected to God. We're with you, God, and God is doing a wonderful work in the head and heart of the believer. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And as we love God and love all that God is doing and honor his word, remember that goes back over to chapter 3, verse 24, 3 and 24. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, and as he gave his commandment. So the law, the Ten Commandments, and all the judgments, etc., are summed up in what? Believe and love. Believe God and love. It's all summed up. You don't know, I say I don't know the Ten Commandments. Know that. Believe and love God. You're going to trust God's word, trust God, and love. Therefore, having said that, and verse 3, for this is the Lord God who keeps his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. They're not hard to be borne. They're not difficult. Difficult to fulfill. And we shared all that. Matthew chapter 11 and 29. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's what you're going to do. You're going to look to God. They're not grievous. What I want from you is to enjoy my wonderful saving grace. I want you to enjoy my being your creator and your savior. That's what I want. It's not hard. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So don't you line up with it. It's a wonderful trip. It's a wonderful reality. The world system's against it. The Declaration of Independence. They didn't want to lose it. And what are you saying here? And in telling the believing heart, as we shared all these things, God said you're in danger of getting sucked into the system, caught up in it, rolled up in it. And you're going to lose it. Because you're going to lose. You're going to lose the freshness, the fullness, the fire, the fruitfulness. You're going to lose it. Your life's sort of a dull, And you don't want that. You're a believer. And you're overcome. You're going to keep reading. That's what God's trying to tell you. The dumb world system doesn't want you to be in the light. Doesn't want you to walk in the light. Doesn't want you to understand the light. Don't even get near it. Use your Bible. Have your little devotional. Close the book and get be at it. Don't believe it. Just close it up. That's the best. You can have that. God bless you. See? No, you want more. I want the life. I want to enjoy Sunday school, in that we want to enjoy God's wonderful, ever-present fullness. Now, having said that, now verse 4. Verse 4 is why I took and did a little bit on the Constitution. Because, 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world system. And that's what the declaration. What did they do? They overcame the dumb world system that wanted them. And they were willing to pay a price for it. They weren't about interested in going home and having lunch. They were interested in having something, even if it cost them, to be able to have something wonderful, looking to God and going forth with God in his most wonderful, wonderful grace, in a most wonderful way. That's what they wanted. That's why men died, because of the Constitution Declaration, that wonderful print thing. We don't want to lose it. We don't want to give it away. And it's worth dying for, which is what they did. That's why they lined up the Second World War, et cetera, et cetera. Why? We don't want to lose it. The Japanese had attacked Pearl Harbor. We don't want to lose it. We don't want to lose it. It meant something. It would cost something. It was worth paying the price. Therefore, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even as it overcomes the world. Now, to put that, to get that, to see it, God, what are you trying to say? The believing heart is to have full assurance of they've overcome the world. Now, put that together. Over again, if I may, take and go over with me, please, in your Bible, over to 1st Over to 1 John. Excuse me, I said 1 John. Where do I want to go? Oh, yeah. Oh, John chapter 16. Thank you. Thank you for that. I knew it would come. John 16. And you'll remember. John chapter 16, if I may, then may I go directly to the end before the prayer, chapter 17. Chapter 16, John 33. Our Lord closes the upper room discourse to the men. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be encouraged. I have overcome the world. I have already done it. It's already finished. I have overcome, prevailed to have the victory. I have overcome. I've beaten the whole system. I haven't even gone to the cross yet, but I'm on my way. I've overcome it. That's what you want to be. That which would want to gobble you up, they can't. They would like to. They'll even kill you, thinking they're doing God a favor. But don't worry. Don't worry. You belong to me. You're in the world, but you're not of it anymore. You don't belong to the system. You belong to Almighty God in Christ Jesus. And therefore, I have overcome the world in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit, if I keep that in mind, I have overcome the world. So now, back over to 1 John. And looking at it, chapter 1 John, if I can. And you'll notice in the Gospel of John, first epistle of John, chapter 4, sliding down, we were there, you know all this stuff. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have overcome. You're an overcomer. I have overcome. I in you, God in Christ in you. You're an overcomer. When did you overcome? When I died on the cross and I saved your life. I brought life into the state of death. I brought light into the state of darkness. You're a winner. Not you're going to be a winner. You are a winner. Practice it. Often the problem our time is, we try to practice, we try to believe things, I need to trust you, God. And more than not, God has already done that for you. He's already finished it. When you got saved, we've been doing it in 1 John. When you got saved, you understood God gave you all of the eternal life you're ever going to have. And everything that you're ever going to have, most of it, is right in Christ. When you received him as your Savior, you aren't going to have any more. You just need to practice the presence of God in your life. So enjoy it. You aren't going to get any more. When I get, God, give me a feeling, give me something. God already did it. He already did it. Therefore, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world in God. So when you received him as your Savior, when you became a child of God, that's what you did. You're not becoming more of a child of God. You're not becoming more of a child. You should be enjoying more As a child of God, but you aren't becoming a child of God. You are a child of God. And you are God. And while you're here, not very far away, go over to 2 Peter. It's something that's already done, and you need to exercise it. That's the pilgrim, that's what they did in Declaration. They believed. They believed. That's what they did. They believed. They were winners. They believed God was able. And so they did it. So now, here's 2 Peter and chapter 1. And 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers, sharers in common, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world system through lust. So God, you gave us a unique, wonderful, oneness relationship to God to overcome. And therefore, we are born to overcome. Back over to 1 John. And in 1 John, and you'll remember, verse 4. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Well, what's the victory? Your faith. What are you doing? You're claiming, without faith it's impossible to please me, said God. Hebrews 11:6. You got to believe me. But God, there's nothing I can't see, nothing. No, there's no proof. I've given you my word. And I died on the cross and rose again. And you're in my presence, God said. Now, what more do you want? I want you to do what? I can see. Believing is seeing. You ever hear that? Believing is seeing. Seeing. Believing is seeing. That's what you got to do. You have to believe. Seeing is believing. That's the other way. Seeing is believing. Believing is seeing. God, I want to see. Believe. Have faith. Believe me. You have to do it by faith. You trust me. Just take me at my word and what I've done for you. And the flowers, the bugs, the birds, the bees, and your own body will bear witness of who I am to you. So trust me. Trust me. And what are you going to do? Gone. You're going to give us the victory by faith. Yeah. By faith. You'll walk by faith. You'll walk by faith. Noah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We walk by faith. By faith, not by sight. We walk by sight. No, by faith. We walk trusting God's awesome, invisible presence. And that's what we're doing. Yeah. And you've got it. Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance, is the foundation that holds the truth. That's how people do it. Do you know how they, I just read a little bit another day on the computer world, the chips, little chips, little chips, little chips. And IBM, among others, they are doing it. And IBM, and they have a chip now, chip, a little chip, the size of your fingernail that has 1 billion, not million, 1 billion B transistors in it. Can you believe that? Transistors like tubes and all those different things, transistors, capacitors, yeah. 1 billion. I saved it because I'm waiting to see how it works out. 1 billion transistors in the size of your fingernail, able to do more power and everything. Wow. God, you have made it possible for you to find, to make your home in our heart. So that what? We become invincible. We become overcomers. In you, because you overcame. So we overcame. We overcome in your overcoming. And we have what? A unique power. Not the power of a little chip that's awesome. No, I have your power and your grace and your presence. We walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 5. For who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And the minute you start giving God credit for who he is and what he's doing, the world system turns you off. Turns you off. They don't want you. You're saying God is, but you believe a little chip would have over 100 billion transistors in it. And you believe that. But you don't believe me, said God. Shame on you. Shame on you. Wow. Anyway, are you getting the idea? So, now, having said that little bit, over to Revelation and in chapter 2. And so God, Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to go, you know what, but I'm just tying it together. Chapter 2, if I may, chapter 2, here's the seven churches, all historic churches, all real, and yet they show us the outline of church history all the way to Laodicea. So, when we come to chapter 2 and slide down to verse 7, he that hath an ear, church in Ephesus, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Spirit of God saying it. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. And all seven, it's going to say it seven times. Seven times, every church, to every assembly, he says the same thing. Overcome. Are you overcomers? Are we overcomers? Be overcomers in the present tense. Be overcomers. Everyone should be overcomers because I have overcome and you're a winner. Don't be a loser. Don't be a loser when you're a winner. No. And therefore, God, you're going to go. So what are we going to do? God, we're going to have to trust you with all our heart and ask God and for somewhere to go. And God's wonderful, wonderful victory in everything. You read it. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. It's already done. Claim it and thank God for it. No matter what it looks like, no matter how it feels, no matter how it looks, it's going to go. You're a winner because your life is hid within Christ, in God. Your life is hid. And that's where your life is. That's where you is. You're in him. Believe. You receive God as your Savior. And God does a wonderful thing. Yeah. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you're a winner. So don't be a loser. Yeah. The declaration, they challenged the world system and went against it. Us believers on planet Earth need to what? We are overcomers. We need to overcome. Chapter 3, in closing, each church, but here's the church in Laodicea, and you know it. That admonition, if I can, verse 14, unto the angel of the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, our Lord. Beginning, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. and thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because you're saying, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and thee anoint thine eyes with hyssop, that thou mayest see. Behold, verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him, will sup with him, and he with me. We'll enjoy a wonderful fellowship. Verse 21, to him that overcometh, present tense, to him that is overcoming, will I grant to sit with me in my throne? You expect us all to overcome. That's right. I expect you all to be a winner. You're supposed to be winners. That's right. I'll have to reward some, even though they'll be saved, 1 Corinthians, by Dame Bema Seed of Christ. You'll be saved by fire. But I'll save you. You had to be saved. I died on the cross to save you. And when you received me as your Savior, if you really, really, really did, you're saved. Now be saved. But say, then maybe you never received me. Maybe you never received me. Because you should be able to catch that. And if you can't catch it, then you better check your relationship. Because God said, you have it. Exercise it. I got to quit. Our Father in God, thank you for your kindness. God, we just stumble along. Help us, please, to understand. Understand, God. The world system hates darkness. Hates light. And loves darkness. And God, we don't want to be in the dark. We want to stay in the light. So thank you. Help us in every way. Just deal with our heads and hearts even now that we're to be overcomers, God, to have the victory. And your word is not grievous or difficult to fulfill. No, God, your word, like your yoke, is easy. Yoke is easy, and their burden is light. Thank you very much for being so thoughtful, so understanding, so patient as we go down the corridor of time. And oh, great one, Spirit of God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.